Last week, we found ourselves back in eternity, and we were discussing the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and we were showing how the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is God, and that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and from the Son for the purpose of bringing forth glory, bringing forth the glory of Jesus Christ. You remember 2 weeks before that, or the second time before that, when we started with an overview of the Spirit, and what we saw was that the Spirit in many ways is the quiet person of the Trinity that's behind the scenes. And we don't see Him normally on the forefront of the action that we find in the Scriptures. Today we're looking at the Holy Spirit as Creator. Day one we saw watery, formless earth suspending in darkness in a void of space. God creates light and He separates light from darkness. Day two, formation of atmosphere and separating water into two parts, the heavens as a part and the water on the earth as a part. Day three, we see dry lands and oceans as a separation, and there's this system of water that feeds the earth. It's the mist or the spring that is given there. We see vegetation and plants and trees bearing fruit, probably this garden that is described in the next chapter. Day four is a sun and a moon, and it's complete with an established orbit, and it's marking the passage of time. And God says that these two things are for time, for days and seasons. Day five, water creatures of every kind. He fills the water that He makes. He fills the sky that He makes. So waters and birds. And then on day six, He fills the land that He created. We see land animals, creatures that creep upon the ground, large things, small things, livestock, everything according to its kind. And then God creates mankind named Adam and his wife, at this point named woman. And then day seven isn't mentioned, but day seven we have a rest. You see that in the next chapter, and it's important just to note that Sabbath rest is not a Mosaic ordinance, it is a creation ordinance. So these are the days of Scripture. And when we look at this chapter, chapter 1, we see God as the actor. God is the one who is doing the work, Elohim in the Hebrew. And Elohim here is not presented as a cosmic sculptor who in human fashion uses pre-existing material as in the way that we would produce art. Bavinck tells us that He is not one producing a work of art, but merely by speaking, He's uttering a word of power, and He calls all things into being. That's what we have in the Scriptures, a God who uses His voice to call all things into being. And then we have all of the Scriptures, all of the Word of God speaking about what happened during that week. God is the Almighty, who is infinitely higher than the creation. We call that the creator-creation distinction. God is the absolute one over heaven and earth, and God does whatever He pleases. And of God's power, there is no limit. That's what we see in chapter 1. But we want to ask the question, how do the rest of Scripture shed light even on the creation itself? Who is creating here? The Nicene Creed of 381 reads, "And the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, and who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets." The Nicene Creed picks up on that phrase, the Lord and giver of life, when describing who the Holy Spirit is and the work of the Holy Spirit. So what we see as we look at Genesis 1 and as we begin to understand the rest of the Scriptures speaking back on Genesis 1, what we see is that God speaks, and as God speaks, that voice that goes forward is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God that goes forward and does the work of creation. We saw in Genesis 1:3, "And God said, let there be light." God speaks light into existence. God speaks a creation into existence. And as we look at the testimony of the Scriptures, we're reminded that it is the work of the Holy Spirit that is the one who is in the speaking, in the voice, as the creation is made. Psalm 33:9, "For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." Isaiah 48:13, "My hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I called to them, they stand forth." So this is an important aspect of the creation. We see that voice, we see that calling, that speaking that goes forth. And we're reminded from the Word of God that that speaking and that voice is the Holy Spirit. So when we think of the Holy Spirit and His connection to the creation, we see Him as the one who is even the actor, the one who is acting in creation. Romans 4:17, "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations," he says to Abram, "in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist." God, through the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, calls into being that which does not exist. Meditate on that for a moment. When I was in seminary, among the seminary, or the pre-seminary, when I was in college, among the other college students that I lived with that were all studying theology, a bunch of pre-seminarians in one house can cause a lot of damage. But if somebody ever said that they made something from scratch, like, "Oh, this pie is delicious, I made it from scratch," the joke among the house was, to make something from scratch, first you must create the universe. That's theology nerd humor, right? This is what we see in the Word of God. As God's creating the world, He does so through His voice, through the voice of His Spirit, as the Spirit of God goes forth and does this work. All things in Scripture are described over and over as being made by God alone and being absolutely dependent upon God. He's created all things, the heaven, the earth, the sea, all that in them is, everything existing according to His will, through Him and unto Him. But what we're trying to prove here is that the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is that agent of creation. This shows us the Trinitarian nature of the Spirit, as all three persons of the Trinity have a responsibility within the creation. But it also here tells us something special about the third person of the Trinity, and something that we're going to see next time as well, is that the Spirit of God loves to be a creator. This is part of His work, is He is that Lord and giver of life. He is the one that creates life. And He is the one that produces that even unto the glory of God. Let's look at a couple of texts. Again, we go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So the Spirit of God is that one who's going to be doing the work as an agent of creation, accomplishing everything as the Father speaks. And that speaking is the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit going forth. We see that in Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of His mouth, all of His hosts. Remember last week when we talked about that intimate connection between the second person of the Trinity and the third person of the Trinity? And how in the Scriptures, when the second person's work is done, often that agent of the work is the Holy Spirit that comes alongside of the second person to do the work. We see that in this verse. By the word of the Lord. Who is the word of the Lord? John tells us. It's Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. And by the breath of His mouth. The Ruach, the Spirit of His mouth, the creation is made. We see it in Job, Job 26:13. By His wind, the heavens were made fair. Again, by His Ruach, by His Spirit, the heavens were made. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the Spirit, or the breath of the Almighty, gives me life. The Creator of life is that third person of the Trinity, God the Spirit. Psalm 104:30. When You send forth Your Spirit, they are created. And You renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. That's the psalm that we opened with. A psalm that is a perennial favorite to sing. With all of these creatures, the rock badger and all of these different birds and all of these creatures and the Leviathan, and it used to be sea monster in our Psalter, but we freshened it up a little bit with Leviathan, but we all maybe miss sea monster. But who is the one that goes forth and creates all of these creatures that fill the earth and fill the sea? It's the Spirit of God. when you send forth your Spirit, they're created. Isaiah 40 even talks about recreation. Isaiah 40, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, the uneven ground become level, the rough places made plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The Spirit of the Lord, the one that calls forth the creation, even to be recreated. Luke 1:35, as Mary is reflecting or asking how it is that she would be with child as she's never known a man, the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit, even in the creation of the flesh that will be joined together with the second person of the Trinity, it's the Spirit of God that forms that flesh. The Spirit loves to be the Creator. So we see the Son and the Spirit both attributed with creation, and that relationship between the Son and the Spirit are so tightly and intimately connected, and connected so closely that words and breath are separated as second person, third person. Can you separate your words from your breath? It just goes to show how closely connected they are. You can't put forth words without breath. And if you're speaking, breath will not come forth without words. The Logos and the Ruach, the Logos and the Pneuma, connected, and both even given credit for the creation of the world. Again, Bavinck says, just as God is one in essence and distinct in persons, so also the work of creation is one and undivided. While in its unity, it is still rich in diversity. It is one God who creates all things, and for that reason, the world is a unity, just as the unity of the world demonstrates the unity of God. In that divine being, there are three persons, each of whom performs a task of his own in that one work of creation. Not in the sense that the creation is mainly attributable to the Father and less so to the Son and the Spirit, nor in the sense that the three persons work independently side by side, as if the Father saying, I'll be over here doing my thing, and the Son saying, I'll do my thing here, and the Spirit saying, I will do my thing here. Nor in the sense that the three persons work independently, supplementing each other's work and consulting three separate efficient causes of creation. All things originate simultaneously from the Father through the Son in the Spirit. The Father is the first cause. The initiative for creation proceeds from Him. The Son is not an instrument, but the personal wisdom, the Logos, by whom everything is created. Everything rests and coheres in Him and is created for Him. And the Spirit is the personal, immanent cause by which all things live and move and have their being, receive their own form and configuration which leads to their destination, even in God. So we see that as we consider the Spirit as Creator, even as we're carefully step aside and say, here's the breath, here's where the pneuma is seen, here's where the ruach is seen, here's the work of the Spirit as the breath of God goes forth and does that work of creation. We also have to step back and remind ourselves that He's not over here working independently. He's working from the Father and from the Son as He proceeds. The creation proceeds from the Father, through the Son, and in the Spirit, in that order. In the Spirit and through the Son, so that glory even may return to the Father. So as we consider the work of creation, and as we consider the work that God has done in creating a world from nothing, the Spirit is not left outside of that work. But the Spirit is that Lord and giver of life that is worthy of our praise and worthy to be seen as the one who creates even unto the glory of God. Let us give Him praise. Amen.